Hello again, everyone. It's Kaz Beal, and this is Casual Conversations, where we have lots of fun in the casual way, discussing important things with people that are very important to our world. Today, our very special guest is Kevin. He's a writer. He's a director, a musician, animator. But what else? There's a whole bunch of list of things I can't even remember. Oh, tell us more.
I do 3D printing. I make this is how do I do this? This is Dograham Lincoln. I just made this guy.
Very
hard
cool.
To see. You getting glare? You getting glare in there?
Yeah, a little glare. I don't know. It must be what are you like, Pennsylvania or somewhere like that?
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, the home of we just discussed this, so we'll act like this is fresh. Wilkes-Barre was supposedly the first place that HBO ever did a thing in, a polka broadcast from Wilkes-Barre. Polka's still big out here. You would love it out here.
Oh,
the music of your people.
Sure is. I was born in Poland, so yeah, polka music is it, man.
Have you seen a film called The Polka King?
I've heard about it, but I have not seen it.
There's two versions of it. There's a documentary done by a guy from here named John Mikulak, a real great director who works at the PBS affiliate out here. And then he did this movie about a polka guy from Wilkes-Barre who swindled all this money from all the Polish people who go to the polka things. And then I thought it was really funny, but I said, that's the stupidest idea for a movie ever. And then Jack Black came along and gave him $1 billion and made a comedy out of it. And it's on Netflix, actually. It's really, both the documentary and the Jack Black version are really great, great films.
So it's funny. So I see your hat says Brooklyn. So you're originally from Brooklyn, but I know you ended up in
Brooklyn. I was born in Brooklyn.
You what?
I'm as Brooklyn as, well, as you are Polish. But I think you're more Polish than I am Brooklyn.
But then you wound up in Central Jersey and you had cable for a while. So tell me about that.
I think we met, when was that? Was that like, I think it was like 89 to 90 something. Because I remember, distinctly remember when we did the kids public affairs show with Ginny Klein.
Ginny Klein.
It was called Growing Up in the 80s. And the theme song was that living in the 80s. And then I remember thinking, wait, we're going to have to build a new set for this show next year. This is kind of stupid. But it was one of those shows where
I remember when we got bored and we got mad at people, we called it up, I think, Throwing Up in the 80s. That was one of the things we had. But I do have actual episodes of those. I think there were 12 or
really.
15. And it got nominated for an ACE Award. Do you know that?
Grown Up in the 80s, dude?
Yeah.
Wow. That was interesting.
Seinfeld. I'm doing Seinfeld. Yeah, George.
Channel 6 at TBR Cable had a lot. They had a big production slate, man. I worked at the NBC affiliate out here, and I seen numbers on broadcast television. And probably more people watch like Channel 6 than watch like the NBC affiliate local programming out here. So it was, it was pretty high production values for what they had. For they had no money, relatively speaking.
Well, but, that's true. A lot of ACE nominations came out. And, I basically went to CTEC at the time in 88. And there were like two ACE nominations after I left that I got, never won one, but I got nominated.
The one thing I remember was I was going through the ACE Awards. I think it was the first year. It was like 89 or 90. And I remember I was the one who realized that Channel 6 had more ACE nominations than anyone at the time. Yeah. And like in the country, I think, but then I think Suburban Cable won more. So it was kind of very competitive.
Yeah. Well, Suburban was the big fish at the time in New Jersey. So, so tell me after cable, what happened to you? Because we haven't really talked in a long time. And so where did you go?
What did I do? I moved to New York. I worked on a lot of feature films. Hung out with Dave Hummel a lot. Mm-hmm. I think the first film I worked on was Bonfire of the Vanities. Because
I heard something interesting happened there. You had a really important job there. Tell me about that.
When you get these PA jobs, people say, oh, that's not a good job. You just get the director coffee. I'm like, No, that is a good job. If you're getting the director coffee, that's the good job.
Yeah.
Bonfire of the Vanities was really controversial. So they just, like, they were shooting, like, at the stock exchange with, like, hundreds of extras, and people were protesting the movie and stuff. So they were just hiring, like, any warm bodies to put for security. So I got a job as a PA, and we were shooting on one of the stock exchanges. There was, like, 300 extras. And it was a really secure expense. It was like they were spending like $500,000 a day or something. Like 300 extras, all this like secret stock market machinery. So my job was they put me at the door, the entrance, and they said, we're going to open the doors and 400 extras are going to come in here. And you don't anyone in here without a laminated ID badge. And I go, I got this. And so, like, as soon as this assistant director told me that, like, Tom Hanks walks by and all dressed up, and I was like, oh, it's Tom Hanks. I'm not going to ask him for an ID. And then I saw this big, like, hairy-looking, scary guy, like, lumbering down the hall, and I was like, oh, whoa, I got to see your ID. And the assistant director grabs me, and she says, that's Brian De Palma. He's the director. And then they put me in a parking lot. Minor player in the movie.
Yeah, who's that guy?
Yeah. They made me sit in a parking lot for the next 14 days next to an empty Winnebago. That was my job. But I didn't get fired. So I did that for a while. And I did, you know, any stupid movie job. I did a lot of music videos. I did locations. I scouted locations. And all the time I was doing, like, art and animation stuff on the side or whenever I could. Then hey, I lived in Montclair.
I hate to stop you there, but I'm trying to jump in.
Go ahead, jump in.
You know, one of the animations that we dug up from the caverns that we, you know, I talked to some people to get this, is something with the word foosball in it, which kind of sounds like... You said foosball.
Foosball's that thing with the sticks that you turn in the bar. It's fuzzball.
Hey, I'm Polish. My second language is English, you know? It's foosball, fuzzball. The crack staff told me fuzzball. I thought fuzz was funny or not right, but it's foosball, but it's fuzzball. All right, so tell me about it. Set this up, as they say.
Set up fuzzball? Fuzzball came about – actually, it didn't even happen until I moved – I was living in Montclair – I was doing stuff at, like, MTV. I was freelancing. And then I broke up with my girlfriend. So I had some friends living in Wilkes-Barre who lived in this old hotel and were opening up a coffee shop. So they said, oh, you should come out here. You know, and I was paying, like, $1,000 a month in Wilkes-Barre or in Montclair. And it was like, how much is an apartment in Wilkes-Barre? And it's like $300. So I came to Wilkes-Barre, and I had all this time to do stuff so I could work on animation and stuff. So actually, and Fuzzball is actually – based on some kids I met in Wilkes-Barre. It's very Wilkes-Barrean. But it was like, you know, suddenly I went back to Nickelodeon and pitched it to them, and they were like, oh, it's really great to have people from a place like Wilkes-Barre. And I'm like, I've been in Wilkes-Barre for like 2 months. What, you know, it's like I was an outside artist all of a sudden because, you know, I was exotic. And I was like, I don't want to tell you, I was born a block away from here. So, you know, but Fuzzball was part of a show called Kablam, and it aired like it's almost 20 years old now. And it's been, I only did one episode. Kablam was like an animation anthology show. Each show was like five different cartoons, some of them recurring. We were going to do more, but then the show got canceled. But they just put the show back on Paramount Plus. But out of the 60-something episodes, like, there's three episodes they don't show, and mine is one of them. I don't know why.
Well, so look it up. We dug this up, so you don't pay a little bit.
Go for it.
This is my town, West Valley, PA. And this is the highlight of the West Valley social season, the annual feast of St. Stanislaus Fair. Every year, Burton Hanks goes on the zipper after eating 12 funnel cakes and proves that you don't buy fried dough, you rent it. Every year, my bud Cake and me stand under the salt and pepper shaker and rake in the pocket dumpage. And every year, another rusty old ride finally gives out. But this year, I'm missing it all, because I don't have a ride. They call me Fuzzball, and I'm stuck here like a dingleberry, because my dad said he'd drive me and then remembered it's his stupid bowling night.
Whoa, Fuzzball! Your father works hard to put a little kielbasa on the table. He deserves a little R&R once in a while.
Unbelievable. I'm getting lectured by a figment of my own imagination. That is so TVY.
And another thing, what's with those clothes? Are you trying to look like a boy?
It's called style.
Yeah, if you're a boy.
That's it.
Oh, that was painful.
Did you recognize the bowling trophy voice?
No.
That was Uncle Floyd.
Oh, cool.
And he did some of the music for it, too. And actually, there's another bowling trophy at the end, which is a woman by the name of Corrine Orr, who was the Smurfette. And she was, remember that creepy Snuggles teddy bear for the toilet paper?
Yeah.
And she was Trixie on Speed Racer. So, and every time I see Uncle Floyd, I go, Floyd, remember me? He goes, yeah, you haven't called me in 20 years to give me another job.
So that's amazing. I mean, those are classic television, 80s, 90s, Uncle Floyd, all that stuff. It's nice they're still around. You can still run into them. They do shows. I know that recently Uncle Floyd was at a show in New Jersey here where I'm based. And but also you're involved with music. You did a musical venue setups and things in Wilkes-Barre.
I had a place in Wilkes-Barre. That's initially how I came here. My friends opened up a place called the Cafe Metropolis that was open for like 15 years. And we did like shows and coffee. And I'm trying to think of bands. The Jonas Brothers were supposed to play once, but they canceled. We had Fall Out Boy play, and they got $40. It was that kind of thing. It was kind of like a punk rock place. There's a lot of bands that came out of there. You know, we're too old for that kind of crap, but there's a couple bands that are still around touring all around the country, selling out big venues that we did shows with. But, you know, it wasn't like a money thing, but it was fun. And it's like the kind of thing you could do in Wilkes-Barre because, you know, if you tried to do it in, you know, Bridgewater or Somerville, it would cost you, you know, $10,000 a month. But you can do that kind of thing in Wilkes-Barre. But, you know, Wilkes-Barre is just getting really expensive now. So it's like, you know, I may be moving back to Somerville soon.
Somerville, New Jersey, not Massachusetts. Yeah. I've been there. No. Not the same, not even close. Hey, so right now let's bring people up to date and talk about Drew Friedman.
Vermeer of the Borscht Belt. Vermeer of the Borscht Belt is a documentary based on about the life of artist Drew Friedman, who's a very interesting, colorful character. I got a bunch of his stuff here. This was his big thing. He does books of all Jewish comedians. He did this t-shirt. You know who this is?
Yes.
That's Shemp. Shemp Howard. You know who this is?
No, I don't know that guy.
That's Larry Storch from F Troop.
Oh, yeah, F Troop. You know that? Yeah, he talked about Pasek all the time in the F Troop.
Yeah, yeah. Larry Storch is still alive. He's like 90 something years old. But I've known Drew for a long time. I met Drew. I mean, I always knew his work. He was kind of he worked for Lampoon, Spy Magazine. He was the front page artist for Jared Kushner's newspaper for years.
The
New York Observer.
Yeah.
That's Lou Jacoby on the left. The Marx Brothers, obviously, and your hero, Ernie Kovacs. That's the from the Ernie Kovacs box set. So about 3-4 years ago, I guess, I started raising the money, and I Shout Factory is going to distribute it. They did the Ernie Kovacs box set, actually. And another company called Stand Up Records, a really great guy named Dan Schlissel, and they've helped me produce this and put this together. And it's got like a ton of great people in it, like Mark Maron, Mike Judge from Beavis and Butthead. Got to hang out with him for a day. That was pretty awesome. Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert's been in a bunch of things. I've known Gilbert for 20 years. He was in, I did an animated DVD years ago, kids game called My Cool Diner. And that was the first time I met Drew. And Drew said, at the time, he goes, well, who do you want to get to do the voices for this animation in here? And I said, I wish I could get somebody like Gilbert Gottfried. And he's like, well, here's his phone number. Call him. So that's how I know, you know, Gilbert and Drew from the same place. But who else is in it? Meryl Marco, who was one of the brains behind the original Letterman show. Yeah. Who else? I'm leaving somebody out. A guy named Kaz, a great cartoonist from Hoboken named Kaz.
No relation.
Who else? No relation. No, he's like Lithuanian, and he spells it with a K.
Yeah,
but he's a great. He's a writer on SpongeBob now. He was a very strange underground cartoonist, and now he's a SpongeBob guy. Yeah. But Drew's work has always really fascinated me, and he chronicles this whole very old school Jewish New York kind of faded people that nobody even knows about anymore. Like Lou Jacoby. Do you know who Lou Jacoby is? And you probably can't see this. This is one of those little flasher cards.
Yeah,
he was on the artwork. Lou Jacoby is, you'd know him. He's in Everything You Want to Know About Sex with Woody Allen. He was in A Funny Thing Happened to Me on the Way to the Forum. He, what else? He was in Diary of Anne Frank. Really funny, funny old comedian. He's, Drew's thing is faces. Like, he did this book. This is a book that came out like 2 years ago. It's portraits of every single president. And let's just see. Oops, that guy who owns the country club you belong to. The country club down the street from you.
Yes.
Well, I wish I could find, there's a president, I want to say it's Millard Fillmore, who looks exactly like, oh, yeah. Everybody says he looks exactly like Alec Baldwin.
He does.
I think Drew used him as a reference because he couldn't find a picture of Millard Fillmore. But Drew's dad was a great writer. Drew's dad has a real prominent place in the film. Drew's dad is a writer named Bruce J. Friedman. Bruce J. Friedman started writing men's adventure magazines in the 60s, became a novelist. He was the guy who gave his best friend was Mario Puzo, who went on to write The Godfather. Drew's dad also, he wrote a bunch of novels that were not, that didn't sell a lot, but everybody really, he was like a writer's writer. But he also did a lot of Hollywood stuff. He wrote Stir Crazy. He wrote Splash. And we did, he died a year and a half ago about. And we did probably the last interview with him. And he's extensively featured through the movie. Well, he's a real interesting, smart guy.
Kevin, we Crackstaff dug up a preview, which they found on your desk there and on a little card, and sent it to us anonymously. So let's take a look at a trailer.
Roll the clip, Kaz. Roll the clip.
Let's roll.
I want to know about Drew Friedman.
What about Drew? Drew's a genius.
He's a genius, man.
Yeah. I met Drew because I had him draw all the pictures for my book. I don't even know how he does it. Some of the best work ever. So, yeah, he's a brilliant guy.
This is a film about art. It's called Drew Friedman, Vermeer of the Borscht Belt.
Drawing was kind of an escape for me. And my teachers, like, kind of gave up on me. Like, this kid, all he wants to do is draw. It's like, what's up with that? And he's not going to go anywhere because he just draws crazy faces.
There's a darkness to it.
It's almost like there's all the cartoonists and then there's Drew Friedman.
That's what I did. I sat in class and I just drew.
I don't think that Drew Friedman is sunk in nostalgia. He is sunk in celebrating survival on the fringes.
His art spoke to that fascination I had that was almost a morbid fascination with show business.
Obscure people in show business that people don't remember.
Here's a guy who stays up late at night and watches old movies just like I do.
The people that, you know, most people wouldn't pay attention to.
And Drew is at least fighting a good fight, saying there was once a man named Norm Crosby.
It's beautiful.
That really, to me, is the essence of Drew Friedman.
It was just drawing, obsessively drawing. So this is the notebook cover is just, you know, every spot is covered with a face. Vampire faces, the Marx Brothers are on there, Nixon. The actual notebook didn't have anything inside of it. You know, maybe more drawings.
This is a film about art, Jews, television, Long Island, New York City, and comedy. It's called Drew Friedman, Vermeer of the Borscht Belt.
what, you know what we call that, Kaz? We call that Hollywood magic. Ready?
Oh, hold on. Let me take it full screen here. Hold on. Don't take it so everybody sees it. Go ahead.
Ta-da! Never mind. I'm like Carrot Top. Did I ever show you a picture of my pride and joy?
Oh, all right. We'll call you, okay?
This bears significance because what this comes from. Like, can you see it? You can see it, right?
Yeah.
Am I getting glare?
No.
This was actually in the possession of Henny Youngman. This came from Henny Youngman's estate sale, and Drew Friedman gave me this. This was Henny Youngman would pass these out to people on the street. You know who Henny Youngman is, right? Am I losing you?
Yes, I do. Hey, he's a good violin player.
Yes. He's in Goodfellas, too.
Yeah. So you met some people during making this documentary somewhere. There's some photos. So let's talk about your experience here. Here's the first one.
Okay. That's Abe Vigoda while he was still alive. That was at a gallery opening for one of Drew's art shows in New York. And he was very nice. And and Drew did like 8 portraits of Abe Vigoda. He loved Abe Vigoda. And Abe Vigoda was actually, both of his brothers were comic book artists. And Drew Friedman did a series of portraits of old time comic book artists. And he included both of Abe Vigoda's brothers in it. This is interesting.
Who's that guy? Who's that guy in the middle there?
That guy in the middle? Who, me?
Oh, that's you? I thought you had that Brooklyn tattoo to your head.
No. You don't want, I don't want to get too much glare off my head.
What? Here's the next guy.
That's Gilbert. That's Gilbert at the Yeshiva Jewish History Museum in New York trying to get free bagels. Like, he made a beeline for the free food. Every time I've been to an event with Gilbert, you're trying to, where's Gilbert? And you look around and he's at the free food.
Did you make that up?
What you just said? No, not at all. Oh my God. Gilbert's like famous for, I think the first time I met Gilbert was like in 1990 and he was wearing a t-shirt that he got the day before from some like New Jersey radio station. And I saw him a year and a half ago and he's wearing the same radio station t-shirt, giveaway t-shirt from a radio station that was like, you know, went out of business 20 years ago. But I've been on his podcast a whole bunch of times. I just put together some music for their Christmas podcast. They've been real good to me. They helped me promote the movie. Gilbert's in the film. Patton Oswalt's in it too. Patton Oswalt was great. He's a really, really nice guy. I think my favorite interview was Larry Karaszewski and Scott Alexander are two screenwriters who wrote Ed Wood. They actually wrote Mars Attacks. They wrote Man in the Moon, the Andy Kaufman story. And they the Jerry Garcia story to be directed by Martin Scorsese. And they wrote the O.J. Simpson thing on Fox, the trial of O.J. Simpson. And they're really funny, smart guys, not like the typical, like you expect them to be kind of snooty Hollywood guys. But they were just really great guys.
Awesome. Here's one more.
That's Joe Franklin. That was awesome. If you ever want to see some great art, you go to the Society of Illustrators in New York City. It's this big townhouse filled with illustration art, not like Picasso's or abstract art. It's like, you know, Norman Rockwell and Drew Friedman. But I spent like an hour with Joe Franklin. I just sort of bumped into him and he like walked around the gallery with me and Michael Wright from the Uncle Floyd Show. And he looked at every single person on the wall and told us how they were close personal showbiz friends of his. Even people who had been dead for 100 years probably. But he was like, oh, Sophie Tucker, I knew her well. And the line on Joe Franklin is he probably didn't know any of these people. Joe Franklin famously said James Dean was on his show with Al Pacino. And somebody did the math once and they said Al Pacino would have been 9 if he was on the Joe Franklin show with James Dean. But Joe stuck to that story till the end.
Wow. So tell us, where can people find out about Vermeer of the Borscht Belt besides the
website? VermeerTheBorschtBelt.com. That actually takes you right to my YouTube page because I had like this website and I'd be like, I'd get 1,000 people on my YouTube page, you know, and 4 people go to the website. So what's the point of having a website? You know, I don't, or on Facebook, it's Vermeer of the Borscht Belt, all over Facebook. Should be done soon. You know, we took a big hit with COVID, but it's coming out sometime next year. We're waiting to see. Not this Christmas, but, you know, sometime it'll be available for next Christmas under your tree.
So, Kevin, the toughest question of all, what was this experience like being on this fine program, Casual Conversations?
Are we recording? Is this on? Did it start yet? It was wonderful. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Doc and Ed. Thank you. You get that joke? No one's going to get that joke.
I get it.
This is the first, like, I've been pushing off doing this Zoom crap for the longest time. And as soon as I get a gel for my light.
Hold on. Hold the horses. It's not Zoom. See, it says StreamYard there.
Is this one of your investors? Are you going to get in trouble?
Look.
You have stock in this company?
Look. See? StreamYard.
Okay. What is that? Is that a duck wearing earphones?
Yes.
Okay.
You are correct, oh great one. And
let's see.
Look like to the end of the show. See? The end of the show. See? The end.
Okay.
The end of the beginning.
Time limit. I'm just getting started.
Hey, for you, there is no time limit, but hopefully the audio is working out great because somehow your system in Wilkes-Barre out there in the middle of nowhere, lovely, lovely place, by the way, I've been there, and I left, and I haven't gone back since, but I'm sure it's wonderful. And, you know, I'm here in New Jersey, Hillsborough, New Jersey, and, you know, thanks for being on the program here. If the audio works out great, we'll put out all over the world on podcast, audio, video. If not, we'll have to do it again and again and again. What do you think?
This is a dry run. Well, thanks for having me. How's the family? I see your beautiful family on Facebook all the time.
They're wonderful.
You have all girls?
Correct. You have two. Even the dog.
How many?
Even the dog. Even the dog is a girl. Three.
How many girls? You have 3 kids? Oh, my God. And a wife. All in the same room with you. That must be terrible. Oh, my God.
Did he say any nice stuff about me? Did he say nice
those
stuff?
Those poor women. I tell them to blink if they're being held against their will.
So did you say anything nice or you just made stuff up or what? You don't like this experience? What did you say?
No, this is wonderful. Do you want me to say nice things about you? Or I'm trying to compliment you on your wife and family, but you want this to be about you.
Always about me, of course.
You're a wonderful person, Kat. I think you still owe me $20. I did a graphic for you in 1998. I think you said the check was in the mail.
It was. Maybe the postage wasn't right, but.
Have you had Dick Craig on yet?
No. He's another AWOL guy that's very tough to get.
Oh, come on. He's bigger than me. If you can get Bob Gainey, you can get Dick Craig. Come on.
All right, I'll go after him again. All right?
All right.
Thank you very much for being a great guest. Kevin
Darden
is his name. Vermeer of the Borscht Belt. When it comes out, invite me to the premiere. I'd love to be there.
I will. Premiere of Vermeer. My pride and joy.
Premiere. That's right, premiere. So, hey, any final words of wisdom you have for us, Kevin, from anyone?
Buy war bonds.
Wrong era. Take 2. Try it again.
No, what is another it?
Thank you very much. See you. And have
thank
great
you, time. Sir.